When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're watching the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network. Now, it's time for the Brent and Austin Show.
Hey, welcome in here on a Thursday. Brent Martineau along with Austin Lane, and we got Nick in the daytime in the booth today. So, hope you're having a good week so far, and we are getting ready toward the end of the week, getting into the weekend. This week going by a lot faster than last week. I do think last week, for whatever reason, maybe a lot of personal stuff was, and not in a bad way, by the way, was the slowest week in the history of my life. Yeah, I think it was. I think last week took forever, which I have been saying. I think the last 4 months, the time has just been flying by, and I never even say that. Not a big believer in that, but we are hitting a Friday pretty quick here already into the end of May and then sliding into summer along the way. Brent Martineau, Austin Lane, and Nick here on a Thursday, and we got some fun stuff for you today. We will go out to California, by the way. Scott Schroeder and the UNF Ospreys playing some golf in the Nationals, not just some golf. That's a big deal as they try to make it to match play and continue to be one of the top programs, really, in the country at the University of North Florida. And speaking of the NCAA, it can be muddy. I get it. I don't get it a lot. And I understand why these things can be tough to talk about. But last night, there was, in my opinion, a landmark decision made in the courts, a settlement. And we had Nick Murrow in from UNF. He talked about this case that was going on, about NIL and back pay, and this is something that could have cost the NCAA like $4 billion. Well, the agreement reportedly is $2.7 billion that came down, and what it will do, if I understand it correctly, is pay potential NIL settlement dollars out of that $2.7 billion over the last 4 years to people that didn't get it, that could have got it. And now there's another element of this that going forward, there will be $20 million available by the conferences due to TV right deals that will allow the schools to pay players. So there's a lot to digest there, but I mean, we are in a system that is now schools will pay to play. Not just that NIL collective outside of the school realm, which is it really outside the school realm is debatable anyway, but two significant things. And it's just the last 4 years from the way I understand it, going back to pay people, and now going forward, it'll be $20 million put up from each conference and be able to pay players. And here we are, pay to play. Are you going to go? It's 4 years. You can't go back and get money.
No, I can't go back and get money. I wish I would have been back like, 20 years. But unfortunately, probably not going to see any of that settlement. But, yeah, I mean, this was bound to happen. And, you talked about we had Nick Morrow in and he kind of broke it down a little bit. And it's like I said earlier this week on this show, I'm going to enjoy the NCAA while I can because it may not be around for as long as I think it's going to be around. So I'm going to enjoy it while I can. Because it just seems to keep on going down the slippery slope of everyone needs to get paid, everyone needs to be compensated, and the NCAA can't afford that.
So let me read this paragraph because I think it will help showcase this a little bit. It's, again, I think this stuff can be very confusing, and we'll have to see what it means and how it means, and maybe I'm just not smart enough. So if you're smarter than me, maybe you can get this from a paragraph rather than me explaining it to you. The settlement terms state the NCAA will provide more than $2.7 billion to former athletes over the next decade for back damages related to the association's name, image, and likeness restrictions, according to sources. Now, what I don't understand is how they're going to identify that. Like, how does that get split up? But it'll be paid out over the next decade, that $2.7 billion. The conference has also agreed to create a forward-looking system that will allow schools to pay roughly $20 million per year in permissive revenue sharing to the athletes. So that's schools, by the way. That's not conferences. It's schools. That's a lot of money out there.
Mm-hmm.
$20 million for Florida to have to be able to pay players? Damn, that's a lot of money. Those direct payments, an unprecedented paradigm shift in college sports, would likely begin in the fall of 2025. So I guess those. This is a Power 5 play, by the way. Mm-hmm. This is right now the Big 12, the ACC, and Big 10 all agreed. The expectation is the SEC and the Pac-12 will agree in the next couple of days to do it. So that would be the Power 5. So if you're going to a different school, don't be like, hey, show me the money.
That's not necessarily the case.
But in your, if you're in the Power 5, there's money to be had. Is that across all sports? I would imagine. There's one other element here that will be pretty interesting. It'll take 6 months to sort through the details. That's how complicated this stuff is. Such as how Title IX laws will apply to future payments or whether they can curtail spending in the NIL marketplace. So do you have to spend equal amount necessarily on male and female athletes or something close or something similar?
I think that's hard to justify in terms of depending how much money you're going to bring in.
I do think that is hard to justify. I don't know if they're going to need to it. If there's something in Title IX that kind of says you have to, because there's a big thing about, first of all, sports-wise, right, an opportunity in Title IX, but also facilities is a big deal when it comes to Title IX. That's just not even at the college level. It's also at the high school level, too. So, yeah, there's a lot to digest. I mean, I did read that several times. They said it will seriously take months and months to kind of figure out all the stuff in here and how to digest it all. So I don't know how the hell us dumb sports guys are supposed to digest it.
Yeah, I mean, here we go again, talking about math, my favorite subject.
We'll bring Hamby in.
No, we'll bring Hamby in for sure. But to me, these new things with the university paying the athletes, it's almost a course correction of what should have happened in the first place. And if you want to compare it to everyday life, take my example, what I do here at the station. I'm a freelancer, so I can go essentially wherever I want and get money. However, when I get money from what I do here, there's a proper channel that that money has to go through in terms of our sales department. I just can't come on here and be like, all right, I'm going to get a couple $1,000s, just pay me underneath the table. Like, that's not how it works. Well, that's how NIL essentially happened, where it's like, if you're an athlete and you go to a university, you can go for this dealership and they can give you whatever they want to give you because you're kind of your own entity. This now is basically saying, hey, we're the university. We still have some sort of control. We're going to pay you, but we have to oversee everything. This is how it should have been from the get-go, because now you're putting a cap on it. You didn't do that. You made it a free market. And now student athletes have become essentially, product of the free market. Go wherever you want. Go where the money's going to go. Get in that transfer portal if you want to get to it. So this is the NCAA. This is universities not having the foresight of seeing exactly what was going to happen and now try to course correct everything, even though it's too late.
I can't get past this one thought. I just shared it. The NCAA's debt, right? Like, I mean, what does the NCAA do? Other than go to court and lose. The NCAA is not a thing. Well, we're going to get rid of those four letters. I just don't know what they do anymore. I mean, they don't seem like they're setting up parameters. They just keep getting sued left and right. Everything that they did do or used to do or thought they did is thrown out the window.
Of course.
They have no oversight, it feels like. I mean, they don't police anything. Transfer portals, now this.
Well, because they can't. Listen, there was a time where the NCAA regulated everything.
Maybe too much, yeah.
Maybe too much, despite what you think, right? But they were the governing body. And then the governing body made it a free market, and now they're seeing the benefits of a free market, and you can't control it. It's simple as that. So to answer your question, I think the NCAA is going to be gone in the next couple of years because there's no way of wrangling this thing in now. Like, you've opened Pandora's box. Pandora doesn't go back into the box. It's over. So this is all your fault. You didn't have the foresight to see what was going to happen, and now you're suffering the consequences.
Yeah, there's no foresight. I think probably a lot of greed in here as well and try to, just live in an archaic world until things really changed, and now it has changed. Now, the one other thing I don't fully understand, we'll have to talk to some folks about it, is we do believe there's going to be mega conferences and especially in a football world. Like, football will go in its own box, it looks like, with the rights and everything else. Now, what does that mean for everybody else? Or is football and basketball in its own box? And then what does it mean for everybody else? Like, can you get amateurism back into colleges with all the other sports? Can they play in a different pond? And right now they're funded by the football basketball pond, you know, or fish in that sense. But I still don't really know where that's going, where that's looking like. I probably haven't spent enough time thinking about it, but it doesn't feel like it's going to be the same. It definitely feels like we are headed toward especially a college football league that has 64 plus teams, whatever it might be, whatever that number is. We told you there was a private equity group that was interested in and proposal. It was an interesting proposal a few months ago. I think we were talking about that a couple months ago. But I think they're going to be their own thing with a commissioner and everything else. And then over here will be the volleyball and the baseball and the softball and the wrestling and the this and the that. Or there are some folks that think some of those sports will become extinct at the collegiate level because they can't fund them. So we'll see. We'll speak without the football and without the basketball. If they're in a separate thing, they can't be funded. We'll see on that. So I tell you, the landscape of college sports is really hard to predict what it's going to actually look like in the next few years, but 5 years, 10 years down the road. But this is, again, a way in the weeds deal. I think it's a landmark thing. And also, you're talking about $2.5+ billion that will be spread out across athletes somehow, some way over the next decade, as a reimbursement of sorts, and now $20 million per school in the Power Five to be able to dish out more money to be able to pay to play. But to your point, the good part of that is there are at least some parameters. At least there's a cap. It's a salary cap, essentially. How do you use it? Who gets it? Who knows?
Yeah.
But pretty significant. In that regard, when it comes to the NCAA, as we try to shake this thing out. I've always been this kind of guy when it comes to topics like this, and it's not just an NCAA thing or a collegiate thing. It's like, okay, tell me when it ends, right? It was like the steroid era was like this. Mm. It was like, just tell me when it's over. Like, what's the end result? There's too much going back and forth, and I understand these things are very complex, but I can't, and we can't, as fans, just like consume it. Mm. But different world for me. I mean, my kids aren't going to play at Power Five schools, but they are going to play in college. Does that impact them? Like, everything is always changing right now in the college landscape, and that's without the money. Mm. We had COVID. We had transfer portal. Like, we have all this other stuff that already has muddied up college to the point where we don't recognize it. It's not the same. And there are good things, there are bad things, but it's not the same as it was 5 years ago. Like, I can never get over that, man. I can't get over the amount of stuff we are living through in real time that is changing in something as broad as the college landscape, the college athletic landscape that we knew for so long was a similar way. But it is what it is. You bring an interesting topic to the table as we get some Jaguars talking. We have some folks talking about it right away just based on the title. And sorry, there's only so many words you can put in the title, guys. Mm. But I like this. You know, Trevor, we think, is about to get paid. Man, a lot of talk this week about Trevor and if he's going to get paid, and the national guys are talking about it and how much he's going to get paid. I saw an interesting thing about Tua. Who else was it? Who else is going to get? Oh, I don't think it was Purdy in this instance. Maybe it was Purdy, Tua, and Trevor. It's like, who would you pay? Who has the upside to pay if you could only pick one? And Trevor won that out, I think, in this specific article, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, there's a lot to buy into with Trevor and his skill set. He was a number one pick for a reason and maybe has a ceiling that is higher than both of those guys. Mm-hmm. So just a lot of conversations like that around the country, some for, some against, but I think it's going to happen. They just paid Josh Allen. So obviously the edge and the quarterback positions are positions that you pay.
Correct.
In the NFL. But there are other positions that have been paid and paid handsomely. As every price tag continues to go up in the NFL. So you bring to the table, which other position would you pay for?
Well, I mean, I got this whole idea because Justin Jefferson's about to be a very rich man, more than likely sometime this year. And he'll be pushing over, more than likely, $100 million, which at the wide receiver position, a couple years ago, you could say that was unheard of. Mm-hmm. But when you're the best wide receiver in the league, well, 1A, 1B, right, because I'm going to throw Tyreek Hill in that list as well. But when you're 1A, 1B, the best wide receiver in the league, and obviously the market dictates it, you're going to get some crazy sum of money. Now, I think Minnesota is going to pay him. I think you're going to be stupid not to pay him, because remember what you had to sacrifice to get him. You let go of Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs plays behind Adam Thielen a little bit, wasn't happy in Minnesota, goes to the Bills, elevates Josh Allen, becomes the Bills' true number one receiver, and has some pretty great years in Buffalo. Now he finds himself in Houston. With that, you know, that trade, you ended up getting Justin Jefferson. So I think from, number one, just the marketing standpoint of how big of a star Justin Jefferson is, and number two, from the skill set of just how great Justin Jefferson is, I think you can justify paying him, you know, that $100 million. I really do. And it's going to reset the market once again at the wide receiver position. So it got me on the fact of, man, you know, in the past, when you pay a non-quarterback position or a non-edge or maybe even a non-cornerback position this much money, it can kind of throw your roster out of whack a little bit. Well, that's where I got the question from. If you're going to pay the next big signing for the Jacksonville Jaguars, what are you looking at? Are you looking at Trayvon Walker on the edge? Now you're going to pay two edge rushers how much money? Are you looking at maybe the secondary? Well, then you probably have to get a guy in free agency, because I'm not sure Tyson Campbell is going to command top dollar if he resigns. So where are you looking in terms of position?
Yeah, and so is that it? I mean, is there left tackle potentially? Is there?
There's any position you want.
That kind of, I mean, but no, who's in the 30 million, 25, north of 25 neighborhood in the league? It is receiver now that has gone there. Mm-hmm. Obviously, edge. Linebackers aren't up there. Very good interior players can get up to that point, eventually. Talked about that a little bit. Like, Devon Hamilton might be a little bit of a deal right now, but those three technique guys can be command a bunch. The Chris Joneses of the world, mm-hmm. Aaron Donalds of the world, if you're elite. Secondary does seem to be the most lofty price tag, and I wonder where that goes or if that continues. Obviously, the Jalen Ramseys and those kind of things.
To set the record a little bit here in terms of different positions. So from the non-quarterback position, Nick Bosa is the highest paid, position, obviously with the edge. The second highest paid position that's not a quarterback is Chris Jones at defensive tackle.
Yeah.
And he garnered $158 million.
That has really moved quickly.
Yeah.
Just so you know, on the Jaguars, from a cap hit perspective, right now, they have Christian Kirk leads the way at $24 million this year. So there is that receiver position, at least. Again, this is cap hit, mm-hmm. Maybe not annual per year. Cam Robinson's at $21 million, which is like 8.5% of the cap. Foyer is at $15 million. They just reworked that. And then there's Trevor. And then Brandon Sheriff. So you got a couple offensive linemen. And Josh Allen, he's only $7 million on the cap this year, but obviously that's it's a mega deal as it moves forward. So, I mean, the Jags do have receiver, left tackle, actually linebacker way up there, and then in pass rush as well. So, I would say, and we got a little bit of a conversation that, would it be cornerback? And I guess it would be. I just think you can overspend on cornerback too. I think the spending on corner and wide receiver in the league, you have to ask yourself, are you being rewarded? Hmm. Because when you're paying these kind of dollars, I think you're not just trying to win and get in the playoffs. I mean, these guys got to push you over the top, right? And I look at Davante Adams, and I look at his deal in the Raiders. Now, that's not his fault necessarily what's happened in the Raiders, but he's making $27 million a year. And what's the impact? Mm-hmm. He's a good football player. He's great on your fantasy football team. But he's not winning games. Now, Tyreek Hill impacts that offense a bunch, and he's making, close to $30 million? But are they going to get, is that the position you need to be spending instead of giving up on these defensive guys? Like, they had Tyreek Hill on offense, but you had to get rid of some defensive guys just to make room for everything else this year.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other side of it is, Aaron Donald, when you were paying him, he helped you win. Chris Jones, when you were paying him, he helped you win Super Bowls. Like, those big guys are helping you win maybe more than the little guys. Jalen Ramsey's getting paid a lot of money. Is he helping you win? Who's the 22? Well, I guess he did with the Rams, by the way, so there's an indicator. Who are the $21, $22 million corners, and are they doing enough to put you over the top? I do wonder if it goes back to kind of the Hunt and yeah. Trent Baalke, the big guys. There's only so many of them. Those are the guys you got to pay.
So when you talk about the highest paid cornerbacks right now in the NFL, the highest paid is Jaire Alexander from the Green Bay Packers. And Packer fans will be the first to tell you they've been pretty frustrated with his play the past season. Second highest paid at $20 million per year. That's the average salary would be Denzel Ward of Cleveland. Marshawn Lattimore's third, Marlon Humphrey of the Ravens, and then Trayvon Diggs of the Cowboys. And once again, injuries play a role there, but like I don't think Cowboys fans are going to say, hey, our secondary just feels just fine because we played Trayvon Diggs. I mean,
yeah.
Well, didn't kind of struggle against Green Bay Packers a little bit in the playoffs.
Well, they paid him and he got hurt, really, I mean, which is not his fault. I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
But so I guess the, you know, I look at this almost from a sports perspective. And in baseball, we talk about this. I think it's a little harder to talk about in basketball, but I don't think we talk about it in football a lot. You got to be good up the middle. I come back to that. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if I'd be spending on the outside as much as I'm spending on the inside. And on the inside are the big fellas, the trenches, the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the running back is up the middle too, but I wouldn't put him in this category. Same with safety as you get a little further outside, right? A little further away. So just think of like who's clogged up in the middle. And your linemen and your defensive linemen, your pass rushers and your quarterback. Right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's 11 bodies. There's 11 bodies. That's where I want my money being spent. Now, it doesn't mean you can't have studs on those outside spots and pay them. But I would probably pay more on those interior positions more than the outside. I think there's a bigger swing and miss factor, to keep the baseball analogy going, on the outside with the guys like Jaire Alexander, with a guy like even a Tyreek Hill or somebody like that, that, okay, it worked, but it can easily not.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I mean, you can also say, though, you can swing and a miss on an edge rusher.
You can, but do you as much? Like, give me an example of somebody who got paid that.
DeMarcus Lawrence.
Didn't do much after getting paid?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was the floor of him, though? Like, didn't do much in terms of, what, 16, 17 I mean, sacks, what was still had, like, eight or nine type of thing? Or?
What was the whole Yannick Ngakoue? There was three guys that didn't really pan out well. It was DeMarcus Lawrence. We broke this whole thing down when Jan was supposed to get paid with the Jaguars, and he never did.
Was Olivier Vernon in that conversation?
He might have been.
Because he got paid a ton and didn't deliver.
Yeah.
Now, he played, but he didn't deliver. Like, he's the one that actually pops out to me the most.
Yeah.
But if you look at, like, recently, the guys that got paid, like Myles Garrett, right? The Nick Bosa's, the TJ Watts. Now, Joey Bosa's been hurt a lot. He got paid, but he's been hurt, but he's a very productive player.
I mean, Brian Burns, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, well, now we get this new crop.
Yep. Rashawn Gary, I think you can make an argument and go back and forth. He has had glimpses of dominance, but in the playoffs, especially this past year with the Packers, he kind of went missing a little bit. I mean, he's making $24 million a year. Bradley Chubb, you know, he's been doing his thing in Miami. Yeah, I mean, the guys in the top 10 are definitely guys that have made an impact. I'm not going to lie. Now, you know, like once I said, like, when you go down the list a little bit, like DeMarcus Lawrence, I mean, Chase Young, when he got his money, did, you know, I mean, you make an argument for it, but like what I'm getting to is Trayvon Walker then. So do you essentially have two bookends and say, yeah, we're going to, I mean, once again, a lot has to play out. Health is number one. Obviously, production's number two. That still has to all play out. But then we're talking about, okay, we're going to pay a certain amount of money to now both of our edge rushers.
Absolutely. So this is a big year. So let's just say Trayvon Walker goes and gets 12 and a half sacks.
Mm-hmm.
He continues to ascend, right? 12 and a half sacks. Mm-hmm. Then I think you're looking at a situation, Austin, that, hell yeah, you go pay that guy. And you might have two guys making, I don't know, $50 million at that mark on your edge. But you also have two guys that are 24 and 27 years old and two of the top pass rushers in the NFL, and you got something that nobody else has. I always say this, and I'll go back to it, and I think I was kind of right in theory, even if it didn't work out. I thought when you could have paid Jan, and now in hindsight, should you have paid Jan is certainly debatable, but when you could have paid Jan, you had something the rest of the National Football League did not have. You had two pass rushers that had double-digit kind of seasons under the age of 25 in the National Football League on your team locked up. between Josh Allen and Jan if you had paid Jan. I thought that was something like, wow, okay, the rest of the league would love that. They would covet that. And they don't have that. And when's the last time the Jaguars had something the rest of the league didn't? Mm-hmm. Now, again, in hindsight, I think you could say, well, that probably wouldn't have been advantageous for the Jags, and maybe a couple years later, they're even better off. They now have Josh to a big deal, and Trayvon looks like an ascending player. Let's see where he goes. But yeah, I would advocate for that. I think that big guy in the middle who's versatile, can do a lot, impact the game, is a safer play, first of all, to spend those kind of dollars than they are on a corner. So if you're going to pay next year, coming out of this year, and they both do pretty well, and you're only going to pick one, I'll pick Trayvon. Again, Trayvon and Tyson aren't on the same clock contract-wise.
Correct.
But after next year, you could play Trayvon, much like you're paying Trevor most likely this year. But if you're going to pick one guy, and Tyson Campbell and Trayvon Walker both do really well, I'm paying Trayvon Walker.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, I think Trayvon Walker showed, like, Tyson Campbell has showed, and once again, you can blame injuries on this, but he has showed that, well, do we have to go in a different direction?
Yeah.
We haven't had the conversation with Trayvon Walker of, well, do we need to go in a different direction?
Well, I'm now, saying granted, if they both play well this coming year, though.
Yeah.
So next year, now you have a renewed faith in Tyson.
I mean, a renewed faith, but, like, has Trayvon Walker ever showed you reasons why you're not going to pay him top dollar money?
No, more
consistent. Has Tyson Campbell?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if they both, like, let's just say Tyson's going to hit the market and go make $20 million a year,
mm-hmm.
okay, because he's a rising player and he's going into his prime and all the other things. And he just had a lost year this year, but he bounced back with a career year next year.
Okay.
Or this coming season. I still would pay Trayvon.
Of course.
Or a guy like Trayvon, just if I had to pick one or the other, because of the guy in the middle more than the outside, I think.
Okay.
I think there are more corners to go get than there are more Trayvon Walkers. To that point, I think Trent Baalke is correct in his philosophy.
Yeah, but, I mean, once again, I'm not calling Tyson Campbell elite, but say Tyson Campbell with PFF is a top three cornerback next year in the NFL, then you'd let that top three cornerback walk?
I'd rather not.
No, but you have to pick one.
But yeah, I would.
Okay,
that's what I'm saying. I think if the tough decision were to be made, I think you can find that guy again quicker than you can find the Trayvon.
Okay.
Quicker than you can find maybe a left tackle, quicker than you can find a quarterback, quicker than you can find an interior player like a Chris Jones or somebody like that.
Okay. I mean, I hear you, but this is also a team that has been trying to replace Jalen Ramsey for how long now?
Yeah, a while. And again, Jalen has, you can't just be like, oh, well, we don't need Jalen at that price. Well, he won a Super Bowl. Like, he was a big reason why the Rams won that Super Bowl. Now, they were good on all levels, but... I don't know if you're ever going to replace Jalen, though. I thought he's the most talented guy I'd ever put on the uniform.
No, without a doubt. But, like, I think now in the NFL, what is he? I mean, he's definitely top five, but he's not the best corner in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to get Sauce Gardner.
Yeah, he's in the conversation all the time, though.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is a team that has now found themselves with Josh Allen, in the, you know, obviously a guy that they drafted, and now they have found themselves with Trayvon Walker. I mean, they've done a good job of finding the edge rush. Now, some would argue, well, we need some depth there, and maybe that will be addressed later on in training camp. But this is still a team that is feeling the void that has been left by Jalen Ramsey,
yeah.
that they can't replace.
Yeah, and that void's been different and shifted over the years. It was receiver for a long time, and they've been able to fill that void. But you're right, corner is one they're still kind of searching for to get that kind of player. And it's also a position they've had good players at. Rasheen Mathis going all the way back, and obviously Jalen Ramsey. And when they go 17, A.J. Boye played unbelievable. He had a career year that year for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Interesting, though, where you put your money. And again, a lot of the people will go off the percentages of the cap. In fact, there was a very interesting percentage conversation. I think Delphonic did it. Mm-hmm. And I'll share that with you. We'll get Delphonic on the show. No, he's not really coming on the show, but at least a tweet that he shared that I did think was pretty interesting. I hadn't really thought of it this way from an inflation standpoint. I'll go there next. A lot to get to here on a Thursday here on Action Sports Shack's 24/7 Network, Brent and Austin Show. Hope you're having a fantastic week. You can jump in the conversation, by the way, on YouTube, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Twitch. Check us out daily, 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. here on the network.
Welcome back to the Brent and Austin Show, streaming on the Action Sports Jax 24/7 Network.
Hey, welcome back here to the Brent and Austin Show. How about a shout out to our guy Delphonic, who, by the way, won Shock Your Mock, and I still haven't got him anything.
Yikes. Sorry, Delphonic.
We'll get it. It's on my radar, Delphonic. I'm trying to do, see what we can get you. Do right by you.
Mm.
What should we get him? I mean, I got a shirt. He wants a Dream 18 hat. That's
there
easy.
There you go. Okay.
But I don't know if that's enough. I feel like I need to give him something else.
Should we just give him a song?
His own song?
Yeah, like an AI song.
Now, that's a good idea.
Oh, I was joking, man. No.
That'd be a great idea. I think he'd like that.
I think he'd like a t-shirt or something better, like Shock Your Mock. Yeah.
Can you throw Shock Your Mock Delphonic into a song?
I mean, I probably could, but I'm already going to tell you right now, it's going to mess up his name. Like, it's going to mess up Delphonic. It's going to sound bad.
Well, as long as it doesn't come off as like derogatory.
No. We're all good there. But I'm not going to overpromise anything. I feel like it's going to be underwhelming. But that's what the prize is.
Why don't you, you should do like a t-shirt of the day.
A t-shirt of the day?
Yeah, so we could work your t-shirts in. Today we got a little Jags-esque.
Oh, I mean, kind of. It's just, it's teal. Yeah. Yeah, but did you know what this is, Brent?
I should.
Yeah, you really should, man. She just had, what was it? Top 15 albums of all time, according to iTunes. But by the way, I'm not sure if you saw the whole albums iTunes list. Yikes.
Is she still alive?
No, she's...
Winehouse?
She is. Yep, there you go. Amy Winehouse. Yep.
I thought it was, but I was kind of wanting to be careful skirting that.
Oh, no, you're good.
But,
yeah.
So there you go.
I've had this shirt for...
I feel like I've seen that before.
Yeah,
but I mean,
this shirt's 10 years old.
That color looks good on you.
Thank you very much, man. Yeah, this shirt was like, she was still obviously alive when this shirt came out.
So what happened to the iTunes chart? Like, what were the album? Like, that was top 10, you said?
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about feeling old and like feeling a certain type of way about Get Off My Lawn? Yeah, so Apple did this thing where every day they released like the top 100 albums of all time. And like the criteria was like influence. The criteria was like playability, all this stuff. And yeah, I think she was top 10, if not top 15. Like her album was considered, you know, one of the best. Back in Black, that album being the number one album, though, according to Apple Music, of all time. And it's something that's right in my wheelhouse. It's an album that I grew up with, but I don't agree. Is Lauryn Hill is the best album of all time?
Beatles. I saw somebody share.
Sorry,
that
Led Zeppelin.
That.
We're going Lauryn Hill. And now
Lauryn
I get it.
Hill.
Well, now I get it. I mean, it's really the first album that combined like R&B. And hip-hop and jazz and put it all together. So, like, I understand that. But to me, like, the top album of all time, you should be able to play it through. And I remember, like, listening to that album as a kid. Like, there were some bangers for sure. Don't get me wrong. But, like, I didn't ever listen to the whole album all the way through because there was some that I skipped. Just being honest.
Who else was on the list? Anybody that I'd know?
Michael Jackson was number 2.
Oh, okay.
Prince, I think, was number 3.
Really? Yep. Lauryn Hill beat both of them?
Beat both of them. Frank Ocean, I think, was like number 6 or 7. I mean, I can bring up the list.
Where was Garth Brooks?
Hey, so you're going to feel a certain type of way about this. No country albums made the top 100.
Now,
Not one.
I'm not surprised by that.
Johnny Cash?
Nah, I would have thought Garth Brooks, really.
Oh.
I mean, Garth has sold like Beatles-esque kind of numbers.
Sure.
So, and by the way, Beatles?
Oh, yeah, the Beatles are on there twice.
Oh, they're on there
yeah,
twice.
Yeah, yeah. The Abbey Road was like number, I think, 5 or 6.
Okay.
I can find the list real quick.
So, I would never, it would be interesting. We could have done this, but now we've kind of spilled the beans. You've got the list?
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
Right here.
Nick in the daytime.
So, one, of course, was Lauryn Hill.
Yeah.
Two, Thriller from Michael Jackson.
Come on.
Three is Abbey Road.
Come on.
Four is Purple Rain, Prince.
Come on. No, okay, five. This next one, stop right here. I don't know if Brent's ever heard of this guy.
Probably not.
Frank Ocean?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, what? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
No, I've heard of Frank Ocean.
Okay. Yeah, Frank Ocean, Blonde, was number 5. Sorry, Nick, keep going.
Probably danced to that in middle school or something.
Now, I know the artist. I don't know the album, Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder.
Stevie.
That's okay.
I just don't know his albums that well. Here's one that's
I didn't know that would be in the top 10, though.
Yeah. Huh.
The next one's a little nostalgic for me. It's Good Kid, Mad City from Kendrick Lamar.
Mm-hmm. It's number 9.
8.
Kendrick Lamar made the top 10.
Yeah, Drake, Eat Your Heart Out, huh?
Kendrick Lamar made the top 10?
Yeah, of best albums of all time.
Get out of here.
I mean, when you're talking about the best hip-hop album of all time, I guess Kendrick Lamar.
Are you okay with that?
I mean,
Best all time?
Nick, okay, how you feel? Because, Nick, this is more, I mean, it's in my wheelhouse as well. I love the album. It's by far his best album, but I think there's better hip-hop rap albums out there.
That's fair, yeah. You can probably go back to Dr. Dre's, what was it? Not Chronic. That was Snoop Dogg. Dr. Dre's big album in the early 90s was.
Oh, no, that was, yeah, okay.
That's probably one of them up there. I'm sure there's some Tupac, All Eyes on Me, maybe.
That's what I was kind of leaning on, but that was like, by the way, Dr. Dre did have the Chronic, man.
Okay, that was yep. Chronic. Yeah, that was Chronic. I was thinking it was.
Oh, no, you're good. Because you had Chronic, then Chronic 2001.
Can we do some stereotyping here?
So. Okay. Go ahead.
Can we get Nick on the screen?
Yeah, give me a sec. Let's see if I can pull me up here.
Come on, Nick.
This is.
Come on in, man. Right,
this is like.
Right, come go. On February, in. The water's just right, fine. March, yeah.
April, February, March.
Break
April.
Down that Kendrick Lamar, dude. Oh, I liked it.
That's not Jason Hamby, by the way. All right, let's see if I can. By the way, did you. We're going to stereotype this big time. You think Nick in the daytime be more pissed off about Garth Brooks or whatever debate we're having right now about Kendrick Lamar and Dr. Dre?
I don't like. All right, there's a couple of songs from Garth I like.
It's not bad.
I'm not a big fan of him.
Rocking that Pineapple Willie shirt, too, man. You're fitting all the stereotypes. Fitting all the stereotypes for a Garth Brooks fan, man.
Look at that. Now, even
I'm not huge on Garth. There are a couple of songs that aren't too bad.
Get them.
Couple?
Get them.
Aren't too bad?
Yeah, I mean, Brent, we get it. You know, Thunder Rolls and stuff. Okay, we got it, man.
American Honky Tonk Bar Association, so on and so forth.
Yeah, you got Friends in Low Places. Ones. We got
you
it,
are well-rounded. This is the upset of the year right now. I just counted on my hands. February, March, April, May. We're almost through May. This is 4 months of doing the job. Here, back together here in the new studios,
yeah.
And this is the stunner of the 4 months. I got Nick talking Dr. Dre. Now, the other stunner was that he wore one day no Tennessee Vol stuff.
That was my big stunner.
So
yeah.
He actually is on our top 10 list of stunners. He's Brent, number one and two.
Brent, you gotta understand that this kid, you know, it's Nick in the daytime, but he speaks for the youth, okay? And the youth is on Kendrick Lamar. The youth is not on Garth Brooks. It's over, man.
I get it.
You guys had your run. It's over.
That's no disrespect to Garth. He's up there, probably top 10 all-time country artist, but he is not in the top five.
Top
of country?
He's a
probably top 10 country artist.
Johnny Cash, man.
Probably top
Cash,
10 country
Willie
artist.
Nelson, Merle, Waylon,
oh,
Hank Jr.
The first thing, I know, right? Garth.
You can put Tyler Childers in there. You can put Garth in there.
Tyler, who?
Let's go, man.
Yeah, Steve in the show. Too.
Nick is dropping some knowledge. I'll put my feet up here, Nick. You just keep going, dude. I like this.
Can we get the Highwaymen on that list, please?
Yeah,
I like the Highwaymen.
Well, honorable mention the Highwaymen because it's a super group. The
Highwaymen were awesome. It's a great album.
So you think Garth deserves to be on this list more than Johnny Cash?
No.
Just in terms of info, I'm asking, I know. Yes. Hey, Nick, I know we're on the same page,
yes.
Man.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
In terms of influence.
Yes.
Out of your mind.
Garth Brooks changed country music for the next 25
how
years.
How many Garth Brooks documentaries are there? None. Because we're all set.
There will be in like another 25 years.
Garth made the stadium selling aspect of it the popular.
Yeah, part. Cool. Dude rocks a headset and with a microphone. Congratulations, Garth.
But
Garth Brooks is like the Beyonce or Taylor Swift of country music. Yeah, we respect it. And yeah, you're selling out stadiums, but on a lyrical level, on an influential level, we're going to be talking about you 30 years down the line, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, or Garth Brooks. I don't know. We'll see. All I know is that we're still talking about Johnny Cash.
I can't get over this. There's a lot going on.
People
here.
Win an Oscar with Johnny Cash movies, Brent.
First of all,
I haven't seen a Garth Brooks movie yet.
I'm stuck on your shirt. I think that teal color looks good on you.
Thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, thanks, man.
I'm just can't put my head around the fact that Nick in the daytime is rolling off rappers to me.
I love it.
And then on top of it, I just can't believe we're going to slander Garth Brooks the way you guys are doing this right now.
We're not slandering Garth Brooks. We're just saying, hey, there's other more influential.
He mentioned Tyler Childers in the same breath as he mentioned Garth Brooks.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I thought Tyler Childers was like a point guard for the Knicks or something. So, yeah, you kind of lost me on that one, Nick, in the daytime. But everybody else he's been saying holds up strong, Brett.
Hey, brush up on Tyler.
Okay, I'll brush up on him.
I know Tyler. I mean, it's fine, but my goodness. Is he from Chattanooga or something? Is that
Tyler,
why you're going here?
No, he's from the same or the next town over from Chris Stapleton. And Stapleton's also top 10, not only lyrically.
Oh,
sure, Stapleton's fantastic.
Get him.
A couple of his albums or big songs, like Tennessee Whiskey, is a cover that goes two, three, four artists back between George Jones and I think Jones was the first one that did it.
Brent, see, music knowledge here.
No, Brent, like, well, we understand, man. See, you're like the type that like goes to the movies, watches a Marvel movie. It's like, oh, this is the best movie of all time.
Little bit.
Yeah, it's action packed and it's got a lot to like.
Me and Ronan are on the same level.
But come on, man. It ain't Shawshank Redemption, okay? Like, Garth Brooks is Marvel, okay? And then we have like the legends like Johnny Cash. That's more of like the Shawshank Redemption.
I do appreciate your Shawshank Redemption.
I'm just saying, yeah. Like, it's different strokes for different folks, man. But I'm just saying, like, you know. Come on, Garth. I mean, what's the most influential thing he's done besides the stadium? Oh, because he's got a TV show with Trisha Yearwood every single year on Christmas time, so we're supposed to give him a top 10 album on iTunes because him and Trisha Yearwood are singing the Christmas classics?
I think
we're all set. Thanks.
I think you missed the time frame in like the mid-90s where like he ballooned country music.
I was there. The standing outside the fire and thunder's rolling
the
and
from
stuff.
The 90s that did. Yeah, we're Joe good. Too. Rest in peace.
Yeah, no,
the other guys.
He elevated Garth Brooks. Elevated single-handedly the mix of like country and pop to this new way of country fan.
Why the hate for Johnny Cash though?
I like Johnny Cash.
Okay.
But, and again, I like the Highwaymen more than I like any individual of that group and that genre. But,
well, I mean, can we get to an album that Brent's actually heard of before anything else on that list, Nick, that Brent can be like...
Yeah, we're out to you on this list.
Champion
so
real quick.
Kendrick Lamar was number what?
Seven. All right. Eight, we're coming to Amy Winehouse now.
This is the best of all time, by the way.
Back to Black.
Led Zeppelin just said, nah, we're all set. We're good.
Number nine is Nirvana's Nevermind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see why.
Ten is nominated from Beyonce.
So Beyonce. So Taylor Swift didn't make the top 10?
No, and people were mad. She made the top 20, though, with her album 1989.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a hard list, by the way.
It's a confusing list. Like, we're talking of all time?
Yeah.
Like, Frank Ocean? Of all time?
Yeah.
I don't know,
but I say the same about Kendrick Lamar.
Sure, yeah. Well, even Kendrick, like, listen, I love Kendrick Lamar, but, like, the best albums of all time. Like, think of throughout history. I don't know, man. I just don't know, bro.
All right, hey, that was amazing. Like, I don't even know where to go from here. Nick, thanks for adding to
Brent's
going to
cry over the Garth Brooks comments.
No, it's beyond that. I'm just, like, trying to grasp that whole conversation. That
Garth has sold over 100...
Not more than the stereotypical way of Nick in the daytime... Just spouting some Kendrick Lamar and Dr. Dre stuff.
Well, let's go to the comments. Garth has sold over 170 million. And so has Taylor Swift, but, you know, like...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Garth is on a level of, like, the Beatles in terms of selling. Now, does that make it the best? I don't know. I mean, but I would assume it's pretty high up there.
It makes a commercial.
It
makes it Marvel. Okay? It makes it the Avengers, but is it the best? Is it the Shawshank Redemption? I don't know.
Shawshank Redemption, so good.
Such a... Nick in the daytime, one last question. Shawshank Redemption, you've seen it?
Yeah, it's been a hot minute.
Okay, but you've seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you seen Good Will Hunting?
Actually, I've seen that more recently, yes.
Dude, I mean, Hamby eats your heart out right now.
Casey and Hamby.
Yeah,
so that's
my,
like, 25, 27-year-old, like, thing now. It's like, hey, have
that's
you seen
homework.
Good Will Hunting?
Yeah.
That is your homework.
Yep.
Shawshank Redemption, though, I can't bring that up without saying, like, you know, Ashland University, where we went to school.
Yeah.
Next to that town is a place called Mansfield, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
They had this former state penitentiary, I guess. I think that's what it was. Well, that's where Shawshank was filmed.
Oh, okay.
Right there.
Yeah,
so it's always like, so I've been like right to that prison.
So you've been by the prison?
Been by it. I never go. You can do tours and stuff now.
Okay.
It's like, it's
like a Shawshank experience where you can like dig your own tunnel?
Yeah, I don't
stuff.
Know. Surprisingly, I've never been in
that.
It.
Okay.
But I have been like to the parking lot and kind of show... We showed the kids the last time, like, hey, if you ever see this movie, which I don't think they have.
Yeah.
Now that I say that, they need to see that.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely high school friendly. Like, I wouldn't show my son, my 9-year-old son, that movie probably right now.
No. Yeah, and you show him stuff that you probably shouldn't.
That's fine. Brent's trying to rat me out in front of everybody right now. Take it easy, man.
You've admitted it.
Oh, I have a couple times, yeah. Rated R movies, Demon Slayer. Head's getting chopped off. Yeah, not my best moments.
Hey,
but
did you sleep okay tonight?
Hey, he slept okay, so we're all good. I'm still winning as a parent.
Hey, do you have the Delphonic tweet now that we have gotten through with that 15 minutes of fame for us? This is the tweet that I like from Delphonic. This has to do with the Trevor Con. Yeah, you're right. We'll get it. I thought this was pretty interesting perspective on the Trevor contract. And so basically, he does this from a percentage of the cap. And I'm going to trust that he's right because I didn't go verify his numbers.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
But percentage of the cap. And I wonder how much agents factor this in when on these quarterback deals. So basically, like $55 million of the Burrow deal is more like, I don't know, just is what he says. Yeah, $62 million now. So if Trevor gets $53 million, we shouldn't be blinded by the idea that it's just behind Burrow. Or if he got $55 or $56 million, it's not necessarily more than Burrow. It's just inflation.
Because the cap has
because the cap.
Up.
Like it might only be 22% of the cap at $55, $56 million or 21%.
Mm.
So I think that I don't know how much this factors in, but I get the logic here. And what he kind of, I think he says it in his tweet there, that it's closer actually to the Daniel Jones percentage than it is the Burrow percentage. I know we get stuck on total value and also annual value, average per year, but should we be thinking more like this?
I mean, I get, yeah. I mean, it's not a bad point. And the fact that he's closer to Daniel Jones and his contract, I mean, I'm over the moon for that because, you know, I feel about Daniel Jones and that whole thing. So I definitely get where he's coming from, but, like, the money's the money. You know, like, it's still, like, I get, yes, the market goes up every single year, and I get all that. But at the end of the day, when Trevor Lawrence gets paid, he's still going to be whatever it is, the second, third highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Like, there's no getting around that. There's going to be no asterisk saying, well, he's the third highest paid, but he got paid in this year. So, you know, the percent, like, and I get all that. And it helps support the argument of, you know, it justifies paying Trevor Lawrence this. So, mission accomplished here. But at the end of the day, the conversation I'm still going to have with Trevor Lawrence and the Trevor Lawrence, you know, supporters is, all right, he's going to be a top three guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Is he playing like it?
Yeah, and I think that's what the public will say. I like this because I wonder if this is how the negotiations go, right? Mm-hmm. And again, I think Jones's money is very interesting here because that's a huge difference, by the way, 7-8% of the cap for the Giants versus the Bengals. And also allows what you're allowed to do. Like, the bottom line is, however you want to look at it, if Trevor does get $53 million a year, where a lot of people are kind of guessing, and we have for weeks, that it slots in very nicely there just based on other numbers, well, now it's only 20% of the cap. I mean, 4% more of the cap allows you to go get another player.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it frees some things up. That's Trevor in a weapon, potentially. That's Trevor in a lineman, potentially. That's Trevor in a tight end or Trevor in a running back. You know, so I think that there is some significance to it. I just don't know. Maybe I'll ask that question down there. Be like, is this how those things are measured when you're doing these deals, these negotiations, where actually that number becomes a little bit more important than we let on? Again, there are three numbers that we see. One is, all right, it's 5 years for $250 million or whatever it is. Then the other one is average per year, because that's really the one we like. And there's also guaranteed. Those are the three numbers that I think are significant. Never really looked at it too much through the lens of, okay, percentage of the cap and where does it slot?
So here's what I understand, though. Okay, so if he gets paid, yeah, let's call it 53, whatever, per year, right? And that's 20% of the cap. And, like, once again, the cap's always going up, so that's fine. But we've also seen, like, hey, when you pay a quarterback top dollar, that's going to take some things away. Like, that's just how math works. What I don't understand then is we all agree that Trevor Lawrence is going to be here for the next 10 years, right? I think we could all assume that. I think Side people in that building would assume that as well. I don't, like, maybe it's just a status thing, but, like, what's from preventing Shad Khan to go, you know what? We'll make you this, whatever, second highest paid quarterback in the NFL. But we're going to front load everything. So this is going to be all in your signing bonus. So I'm going to give you all this money up front because, Trevor, I trust you. Like, I don't think I'm going to pay you, and then all of a sudden you're going to be going to Cancun for 3 months, getting all fat and everything, and, like, that's going to be it, and you're going to be a TikTok star. Like, that's not Trevor Lawrence's DNA, right? Like, I think regardless of how much Trevor Lawrence is going to make, he's trying to be the best quarterback that he can be. So then if you're Shad Khan, why can't you just go, you know what, man? Like, let's set a precedent here. Let's do something that no one's ever seen before. Let's give you so much money in guarantees. Let's give you so much money up front. And then in doing so, let's go ahead and drop that per year, you know, like the contract per year. and maybe we'll put you in the, I don't know, $45 million range. And maybe it's not going to look good in terms of websites saying how much you make per year, but when you see the overall contract, oh, you're still the highest paid quarterback, second highest paid quarterback in the NFL, so we're all good there. What's to stop Shad Khan from doing that? Because he can afford it.
Yeah, I don't. That might be some of the creativity. Now, it could be different reasons why. I do think that guaranteed money is the slot that keeps moving up. Even on these deals, like I think Goff just break the guaranteed money? I think he might have.
I think he did. Yeah, so his buyout, like if they want to buy him out in the next couple of years, is like
crazy. Dead money would be crazy,
oh,
right?
Man. Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I think you're onto something. Like that's where these contracts are going. They want the guaranteed money to keep going up. Now, what the league is also saying is we don't want the Deshaun Watson thing. So you got to be there's a happy medium. Now we're inching closer to the Deshaun Watson stuff, but we're not going to get there. It doesn't look like that. It's a fully guaranteed contract. But I don't think you're necessarily wrong. And listen, I've been a big believer in this. I think Shad is going to get creative on this deal with Trevor Lawrence. I feel like there's something in there that's going to be different than the rest, or at least more unique than the rest. I don't know if I'm right. But I just feel like it. I have this gut feeling that's going to happen. And so maybe that's something to that degree where, but that wouldn't be out of line if he gave him more money, guaranteed money than ever before. Maybe it's how they place it. Maybe it's one of the things, Austin, that you just mentioned. But I do think we're going to get some creativity in his team.
So, yeah, so Goff got, let's see, a $73 million signing bonus. And I think that was a record, if I'm not mistaken.
That couldn't have been a record.
I mean, it's okay. Maybe it was just with like
the signing
cap.
Bonus might have been a record. Guaranteed money would be different.
Would be different, okay. Yeah, for sure. But I mean, he's still making $53 million a year. So I wonder, like, if you can just have this astronomical signing bonus or this all this money up front, and then you take away, you know, the annual salary per year. And I think if you're Shad Khan, that's definitely a huge investment. But also, look what's transpiring. You're about to get a new stadium. People seem to be on board, keeping the Jaguars here, obviously, as we always thought they were, much to the national media's thoughts and everything. But people are investing in a new stadium here. People have, I think for the most part, come with you on the game in London. You know, games now, we'll see going forward, or international. So people are really investing themselves as a fan base into this team. So I'm very curious to see does Shad Khan then invest in Trevor Lawrence and say, you're our guy, here's all this money up front, in doing so it's going to help the team in terms of signing other players, and everyone's happy.
Yeah, I'm gonna go investigate that a little bit more. I don't see guys that predict contracts. Like I see the prediction of $53 million a year or whatever, but I've never really seen anybody, and maybe you guys have, if you guys have, share it with us, that basically come up with, like, hey, the most creative ways to pay a quarterback. Like, are there such limitations to the way you can pay a player in the NFL that you really can't be too creative? Like, I know we've talked about in the past, I think Dan Marino tried to get, like, 1% of the ownership and stuff. Like, you can't do things like that. But how far can you push the envelope of creativity based on a lot of the things that you just said? We talked about this a couple, maybe it was a month ago now, that we said, hey, how creative can they get? What would it look like? What can you do? But I don't know if I really have an answer. Like, I mean, we can throw stuff out there. I just don't have an answer of, like, some cap guy or Spotrac be like, yeah, you know, I don't know why somebody hasn't done this yet. Like, why hasn't anybody got really creative? The most creative thing I think we've seen so far is a 10-year deal for Patrick Mahomes at $45 million is worth $500 million over the length of the contract. That's about as creative as we've seen. And there's got to be more stuff out there, though.
I mean, I'd say Watson, too. Now, it probably wasn't – I mean, they were regretting the decision,
well,
but playing Deshaun Watson
– that was kind of creative.
That was creative. Now, it was risky, and obviously there's some of the consequences.
Stupid, maybe,
yeah.
That's a good point, though. We have to acknowledge that it was different.
Correct.
And that's what I'm looking for. What's the next thing? What's the league not thinking about on these kind of deals? And I feel like there's going to be something in there. I just don't know exactly what that is. Let's take a break. Brent and Austin show. We'll get some comments on the chat. Appreciate you jumping in here on a Thursday. Action Sports Shacks 24/7 Network. If you missed Cup Date or a week with Action Sports Shacks, we'll replay those today and tomorrow. No gate fees. Presented by Nimnik Buick GMC. By the way, you can find it on YouTube channel. Action Sports Shacks. Just subscribe, and you can also find it on Twitter. A lot of people checking that out. Congrats to St. John's Country Day as they win a state championship in Class 2A, and Baker County goes for a softball title coming up tonight at 7 o'clock in Claremont.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.